Man, this is the first time in forever I have a huge delay. Like, I just refreshed and I saw myself coming back from Get the Ethernet.
You will do, because we've got, now we're streaming HTML5, so it's not flashy anymore, so it's a bit longer because of the software.
Well, that's good though. HTML5 is better.
And HTML5, you're watching us on Safari, you watch us on your iPhone, you can watch us on your Windows phone with no flash on your computer at all, thanks to Anders.
Good for you guys. Good man.
Anders UK is the hero.
I got my first BTN hater. I kind of love it.
Who've you got?
Who's that?
On my Twitter, it says, listening to the British Tech Mac podcast, Doc Rock's attitude towards people with bandwidth caps is disappointing. And I'm like, I really don't know what I said, but
no,
I kind of don't care.
He's all right. He's a nice bloke. He's a lovely guy. He started listening to the network. He's a long-distance trucker, and he only found the network about 2 months ago. And he's gone right the way back to the start of the feeds, and he's listened from Bagel Tech forwards.
Jesus!
And he's such a long distance trucker that in 2 months he's caught up to nearly where we're at now. So you have no idea which podcast he's referring to. So it could
I don't.
It could be months
he knows,
back.
He knows more about you than you do.
Yeah.
That's quite is nice. A fan, says Batwitch. It totally is. Well done. I'll give him a name check. His name is Lopta, at Lopta on Twitter. And he's been catching up with...
He's from Illinois.
...and stuff, yeah.
I really have no clue what I said about bandwidth caps, but...
I think you were probably dissing people who were complaining about bandwidth caps because they're non-existent anymore, and they are obviously existent for him and for other people. But if he's
if anything, I was probably mad at the carriers for doing bandwidth caps because I think it's dumb.
The thing is, if he hasn't got a bandwidth cap, he's probably been listening to BTN so much and catching up on all the shows. He's done Dad and the Dude and all the old ones of that as well. So, I mean, he's probably used 10 gig just doing the audio.
Oh, yeah.
Catching up for the last 6 years. Hello, Lopter. Thank you for being a fan and thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. Love you to bits. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, my name's Ewan Rankin. I am back from my sojourn from the BTN studios for the month. We were covering a thing at the Walthamstow in East London, where they completely refreshed one part of the track. It was absolutely brilliant. But it was a month away in hotels. Poor old Jack's had a bit of a shock. Because he's had to share a twin room with me for a month, so he's got me snoring and farting all night. Poor kid. I think I may have ruined him for life. There you go. So he'll never be able to sleep without hearing faint farts in the background for the rest of his life. Joining me to discuss the week in tech and bring their own stories and their own take on it. Great bunch. Top left, starting us off. It's Lee, Mr. Productivity. Hello.
How are we doing tonight?
I'm good, brother. How have you been for the last month?
The last month? Yeah, not been too bad. Been about a month, I think, since I was last on. Yeah, it's good. I'm having a couple of weeks off at the moment, so I'm catching up with a bit of writing, written a couple of courses, put up online. It's all good.
Oh, productive. Okay. And productive. Mr. Productivity is having a productive week.
Indeed.
Good man.
Is there any other type of week?
There's no puns there, is there? None at all.
Oh, no, of course not.
Excellent, mate. Next to him, it's the Doc, back in the house after last night. How you doing, pal?
Good, man, good. It's been great. I had a long summer, and Hawaii is crazy. It's like super, super hot, like 100-degree days, and then 9 tropical storms, hurricanes in a row. Office has been flooded 3 times, so I'm rebuilding my office. It's been nuts.
Oh, Christ. Well, I've had an easy month, then.
It's been pretty crazy, but...
Bad luck, dude.
All is good. All is good. No heavy equipment got burned, so we're square.
No, it's okay. And next to him, it's Big Chris. How you doing, man?
I'm great. How you doing, my man?
Yeah, no worries at all, buddy. Has Washington been any hurricanes?
No hurricanes yet. It's still hot here. Normally, right now, you can walk outside and you actually smell the change. You can smell the fall coming in, football season's coming in, and you just feel it. But I don't know. I think the storms are kind of messing up the timing up here, because it usually happens like right around the end of August. It hasn't happened yet, but with football starting this week, I just went out and bought some more equipment for the tailgate. I'm not messing around with portable grills anymore. I went out and bought a full-size grill, 3 burners, nothing crazy, but no more portable grills.
Dude, you're talking about a barbecue that attaches to the back of your car and saying nothing crazy, which is England, mate.
Well, it's not going to attach. It's just going to be like what you would have in your patio. But the problem is, you know, I've been using portable grills for the last 6 years, and we're hard on them because we use them throughout the season, and you know, I end up throwing them away and getting another one. And just enough is enough. And especially in the wintertime, you know, when it gets really cold and snowy out there, it can't put out, the smaller ones can't put out enough heat to do the food. So, you know, every year we got to step our game up. So I'm excited, man. It's a good time.
I've got a new barbecue for the back of the trailer. Nothing crazy, only enough for serving 80. I'm at football this year. I've got tickets to the Jets game at Wembley.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'll be down there. I've ordered me Jets shirt because Jets fans are supposed to be nutters as well, aren't they?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Yeah, I got the but white
you're gonna,
one.
You're
going to
find
piping,
nutcases no matter what stadium you go
no,
to.
No, but apparently the Jets have a higher percentage.
Yeah, Jets, of knobs. Browns.
And Philadelphia. Raiders.
Yeah, all the old folk. And last but by no means least, the man that has steered the ship manfully for the last few weeks and done a stunning job of it, and some wonderful editing as well on one of the shows. It's Righty Boy.
Hello, mate. I missed this.
Yeah, well, no, because you didn't miss it because you carried it, buddy. You had the helm.
Yeah, but that's the hard job, that bit.
Really?
Being the ringmaster.
What, a hard helm?
Jesus.
That's come on, let's get the double entendres out of the way. Show us your hard helm. How's the new job, mate? I'm not going to make the obvious reference here, but how's the new job going?
I absolutely love it, mate. Just designing. Yeah. I think I'm like director of make things look beautiful, and it's so much better than like doing IT support.
Well, you are an artiste at heart, aren't you? So.
Yeah, that's right. That's where my passion is. So yeah, I couldn't be happier, mate. Really, really, really chuffed. And great to be back into this again.
Excellent, mate. Superb. Now then, before we get going, we have a very special event for you. Because if you notice, I'm wearing my Hoya glasses. See? Now, I'm supposed to have reviewed these for a month, but I spent a month underground, so I haven't had much chance to use them. All I can tell you is that I've forgotten to wear them. I've got them on, and I've worn them home a couple of times, which they only work from the screen to the camera, so they're subtle use in normal use. And I have also been in the shower with them several times because I've forgotten I've got them on. They're that good. But now we've got a competition, and we said, where did Reggie the dog live? Do you remember that one?
Oh, goodness me, yes.
Reggie the dog. There we go. Reggie the dog lives at 32 Avenue at his Anglais, Nice, of course. And he's Reggie Reggie the dog. It begins with a T. I can't remember his name. Trubshaw. There we go. Reggie the dog Trubshaw. And it was a Not the 9 o'clock news sketch. And the winner of the Hoya glasses, very kindly sponsored by Hoya, was Mark. Roll on in, mate, because we only had two entries. So it was like tossing a coin, effectively. 50-50. Come around this side, pal, because there's plenty of room there. Mark's back from Hoya, because we've got another special event going off in a minute. The winner of the Hoya specs is...
I think the winner was...
Batwinch.
Batwinch.
Oh. Batwinch did it. There was only two people wrote in, so we'll see what we can do. But there was only two people wrote in, and Batwinch won. She was the first one in. Reggie the dog, 32 Avenue des Anglais, Nice.
Send me an email, girl.
Yeah, email to DM Mark on, or send him a tweet first. Yeah, what's your tweet handle?
By the way, she got me email.
She's all right, she's fine, right, okay, yeah. Fair enough, right. So we're good. Well done, he's wearing an Oakley t-shirt, they've pointed that out. Is that cool or not cool? Are you partners with them? Do you want to turn it inside out?
It's a sight testing.
It's a sight test one, yeah, that's very good. Yeah. It shows up really well on screen. Yeah. Now, the other thing that we've got, which is rather interesting, is Steve's here, Muller, from the chat room. Come on round then, pal. I shall shuffle out the way because Steve's got to get in. But Steve is the first BTN listener to say, I would like some of these glasses. Now, I've had some emails from people. Martin Kelly wrote in. He's having his assessment, isn't he?
There's one going... today, I think.
Yeah, one today. Yeah. Mark, but everyone that does it, you guys are trying to pair them up with the full iPad experience, aren't you? So
yeah, one of our guys are going to go in where possible and make sure that they're well looked after.
So you might have to drive a little bit further to get the full iPad experience, but it's definitely worth it. And one of the things we did when we went to pick up my glasses up at, to see my glasses being made over at Hoya, was Steve, you got measured, didn't you? Because you wanted a set. So here he is in his old... frames from Vision Express that we've already agreed someone sold him those for a bit. He walked to Vision Express and someone said, I bet you can't sell him the blue ones. So he's got the blue ones on there, and you've got his new glasses, and you're going to fit him. Now, this is the interesting part, because we originally featured the Hoyer glasses because of the fact that the iPad was used to measure the referencing of like the angle of the frames and all that. What are you doing?
Okay.
It's his first time on TV, to measure the frames and everything. But now you're going to go back to those original measurements and use other Apple devices, as in the phone, to measure the angles and check that they're...
Yeah, I'm just going to use the iPhone for speed, really. Make sure everything's set up the way I design the lenses to be optimised at.
Right.
Make sure all's good before we see what his vision's like.
Right, yeah. So these are the glasses, look. He's got his own pair of Advantix, just the same as mine. So you've had the gunmetal.
Muller. Yeah.
Dive in. Right, dive in. Show you how this goes.
There we go, mate. Do you want to have a quick look first?
Yeah.
That one says she's coming down for her fitting too.
Ah, all right, mate. Actually, let's turn the iPhone on. What I'm going to use you in is the inbuilt inclinometer.
Oh, right. So now this is all the dimensions that came from the original fitting that we saw over in Wrexham when we went up. So Muller's got all of his dimensions and everything are all fitted there, all the angles of reference for the phone and all that. So you've got that to compare back to.
Yeah, so the critical one for getting the very best vision is this inward angle of the lens. So I'm just going to use the inclinometer to make any fine adjustments to that angle. Once he's wearing them.
Right, cool.
Okay, mate, try those on.
I can see, it's a miracle. There you go.
Gorgeous, mate. Beautiful.
And the glasses are.
All right, dude.
They're really good.
Turn this way for me, please.
So side on, and now the inclinometer's going to check the original measurements for... So what was the degrees that you're looking for?
8.7.
8.7 on the original angle.
Nice, sort of natural straight ahead posture, please, mate. That's about spot on that. That's straight ahead. So we've got a little bit more.
Right.
About 2 degrees more.
So you can now put these in a heating thing and change them around.
Yeah, I'm just going to do a quick adjustment. And take a tiny bit off.
So I mean, this is cutting edge stuff of using all of the Apple technology that's available there at the moment. And you can actually bend to the phone is measuring adequately to the accurately.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. There's not really a better tool available, to be honest with you.
No.
It's, the non-Apple devices that are available in practice. Either use just a weighted pendulum or like a spirit bubble type thing, but it's not as accurate.
No. So I mean, we're on the big show here, which is not an Apple show, but I guess we could actually end up, you could use any of the inclinometer programs.
Yeah. If I,
as long as they're accurate.
Yeah, when I'm in different optician practices, if they haven't got iPhones, I just go on the Play Store, download an inclinometer, and show them what to do.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, mate.
I love the fact when you fit them, they fit on, and you put them in a position and they feel really great, and I never put them in the same position again after. I need to do a degree in optometry just to...
Okay, mate, just this way for me again.
Last check.
Just down, not quite that much. Yeah, that's nice and natural.
There we go, and spot on. Back to 7.8, 7.8, 7.8. It's wobbling. Yeah, that's
I'm
good.
Happy with that.
Good. Spot on, mate. So there you go.
So that's about.
What's the glasses like?
Brilliant.
They're really lighting your face. Definitely. Cool. Now, Doc, you said you wanted a set.
Yeah, but do you know of any ops in Hawaii that are doing them? Because I'm due for my appointment, like, in the next week or two.
He will do.
It's a bit outside my patch, but I'll check it out for you, Doc. Leave it with me, mate.
He's going to see if the expenses
I mean, run that far. You're welcome to fly your ass over here and fit my head.
Works for me. I'm happy.
There you go, Mark. You got to open that white branch.
All right. Excellent.
I got carte blanche at a lot of bars.
There we go. Another satisfying. If you'd like a pair of Hoya glasses and you want to try them out, then send it to here. Or there's podcast@hoya.co.uk. Yeah, podcast@hoya.co.uk. Send your details to Mark. Mark him for the attention, Mark. And he'll put you in touch with your local rep. He'll get and you'll get the full iPad experience. You'll get the full tech experience of using it. I promise you. It's really good. So there we go. You all want glasses now, don't you?
Yeah. And where can I get a black and yellow Knights Templar jersey for the guy that looks like I haven't played rugby in 20 years, but I want to wear this shirt anyway?
Wasps.co.uk, mate. The stadium is literally 3 miles away. Go on wasps.co.uk, pick the size that you want. We will order it, and I will send it to you, mate. I promise you.
I was just teasing Steve.
No, you can have it. Steve tried the 2XL Superfit shirt, so he couldn't get it on. And I don't even dream about trying to get that on. They do it in 3X, but it's not going to fit me. Right, who's got a story for us then about the world of tech for the week?
I want to go first so I don't get my story jacked.
Go for it. Stick it in the chat room.
So, I forgot how this works, man. It's been like since, I don't know, June?
It has. It's been too long.
Oh, God. You know what? I didn't even open up the chat program. How is this? I'll be talking while I bring it up. Anyway,
well, let's do someone else.
So started testing in July, but it looks like they're starting to roll it out now. The story is about a day old, but... And this is, I mean, for me, it's kind of a big deal because of the business that I run with my engraving and stuff like that. But I think that it's going to mostly benefit like restaurants and small retailers. Facebook is literally rolling out their shopping program. Why can't I log in to the chat? Anyway, Facebook is rolling out their shopping program now where they allow users to basically go through what it used to be your standard issue Facebook pages. But you're able to do retail in there. So there'll be buy buttons similar to Pinterest's buy pins from like a couple months ago. And I don't know. I just think it's really, really a big deal when you figure there's like, 45 million business pages on the face space right now. And that story that rolled out like a week ago about 1 billion people hit Facebook in a 24-hour period. Like that stuff is kind of insane. So I think the potential is there. Amazon kind of has a one-trick pony for right now, but they don't do a lot if you're a small business. You know what I mean? Like if you were serving pizzas at the BTN cottage, there's no way for you to do that on Amazon, but you'd be able to do that on the Facebook pages. So I think it's kind of a Amazon, hot number.
Well, there is a good point to that, though. I mean, Amazon have got very strict guidelines about the type of photos you can put up against the backgrounds that you can use and the descriptions you can use. And it is monitored and it is policed and it is enforced more than anything. And if you don't really want to go to the Wild West of that, because there's an awful lot of cons out there. If you look at eBay, you know, as an open shopping platform in comparison, there's a ton of stuff on there. You go, oh, here's what I'm buying. And then a couple of weeks later, it comes from China, and it's not what you thought you were buying. And getting a refund is just it's non-existent.
Yeah, I would think that that's the scary part about Facebook. But one thing that I think that is going to be good is if they do it slowly and start out with services-oriented companies, you know, like your spas, your restaurants, your pizzerias, your lawn guy, your mobile glasses fitting dude, like I think those stuff would be okay because they're a little bit harder to mess with, and the people will rant like raving monkeys if you've ever seen Yelp if it's not what it's all cracked up to be. And I think Yelp is one thing to get called out on. You don't want to be called out on Facebook because everybody and their granny is on Facebook. So you would lose reputation really, really hard on Facebook. So hopefully they'll start there. And they're also doing something, which I thought is kind of weird, but could be beneficial. There'll be donate buttons for nonprofits. So if you wanted to like donate to the Roving Panda Fund, you could kick them a fiver real quick without, you know, having to go through any strange stuff. And I think that could be beneficial for a lot of small donation-based organizations and things like that as well.
So is anyone else on the panel sitting thinking going, oh, this is really cool, I can't wait? Or is everyone else sitting thinking going, holy shit, Facebook on sales? Go on, Ray.
Facebook just want to be everyone's internet, don't they? They want to be the first page you know every day, and they want you to use services within their ecosystem. They don't want you going elsewhere. They want to do it all within. Mm. So this is the first, you know, they've incorporated many services over the years, and they're going to do more and more because for a lot of people, Facebook is their internet. That's where they get their news. That's where they catch up with their family. That's where they probably will end up buying stuff. So it's probably just a natural progression of them just taking over. And being able to, like I say, turn around and say we had 1 billion users in one day, they've got that footfall, and they can sell that business quite easily.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think they try and see themselves, or they want to be this all-encompassing platform where you're going to log into Facebook and then you're not going to need to leave until you leave your device. And I'm actually surprised that it's probably taken this long for them to have this shopping sort of idea come in. I think it's going to come in. I think it's going to be an absolute raving success because that's what Facebook is and that's what Facebook does. And I think that there's probably another 10 ideas they've got that are exactly like this that we're going to be surprised with soon. It really wouldn't surprise me at all.
You know, one thing I do have to say is there was a point, really, I want to bow down and give Facebook, you know, like a round of applause, because literally about 2 years ago, I was about to go old git and go, you know what, I'm over Facebook, I hate it, it's just a bunch of stupid, blah, 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 blah. Literally within the last, I say, 18 to 20 months, they have done some digging and trenching, turning around, tightening up, being a little bit less creepy uncle, and started behaving like, you know, let's say the grown-up company that they are today. And I think this does bring some of that, you know, the newer, this is not your nephew's Facebook kind of thing. I was at the point where I really didn't want to be on there anymore, but at any given day, if I open up my browser, it's one of the tabs that's open. And I've learned to, with the way that they've weighted posts on the wall, you kind of can ignore a lot of the stupid stuff because it's not there. Like, there's algorithms that say this guy doesn't really pay attention to stupid stuff, so it never even comes across your feed now. Like, you have to hunt down ignorant people. Or they also made it easier to do pruning. And then so it's always cool, like, once every couple of months and be like, yeah, if you find yourself not able to talk to me, you have been sliced.
So
because,
you know, it's funny you say that, because I used to be the same way with Facebook. You know, my wife had to ask me before she would put a picture of me on online. And I was like, I don't want people in my business. But I'll tell you what changed me was the fact that I came in contact with my niece, who I hadn't heard from in 20 years. And that just, you know, it just kind of opened me up to say, you know what, Facebook is actually, you know, it helped me with something substantial and personal to me. So, I really changed the way. And then I started watching what they're doing. And like you said, and like Paul said, they're really moving into trying to be more encompassing, which I think any company has to do in the first place. You know, with the fact that they bought WhatsApp, which is something I use every day, all day, and WhatsApp added the calling feature. So, you know, it's really, they're really working towards being that end all be all for everybody.
Yeah. And I mentioned to you and yesterday, I've been using the Messenger app, which everybody poo-pooed for a long time because they were, you know, saying like, oh, Facebook's spying on you. I'm like, with the amount of traffic that they have, 1 billion people in 24 hours, they don't have the staff to spy on your lame, boring, stupid life. Anyway, so I've been using Messenger app a lot because it works great for my international clients as a way to conversate in real time and not incur any charges. And it's not as sketchy as Skype, you know, where you lose, you know, connection and, you know, I don't know. I like the way it's integrated, actually. Stuff that I talk about on Messenger, if I open up my Skype app, it's still there. Like, once they figured out how to tie them together, and they're starting to do some great tie-ins. I'm still a little tripped out over the fact that there's so many missing hooks in Instagram, but that's probably coming up next, you know, where there's a better tie-in. But I think they're doing a really, really good job of closing loops in various locations. Like you said, live calling from Facebook, live calling from WhatsApp and Skype. I mean, so look, they already own 3 very popular ways to communicate. And like Paul said, you are definitely staring at that page a lot more than normal. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
But, I mean, the hurdle that they've got to get over with the shopping, because they've always done the ads linked shop, haven't they? If you like, you know, you click
and
the ad takes you where you want to go. But there is a, you know, to actually get the person to click and pay within Facebook, it's, I mean, if you're a big Facebook user, I can believe it's probably an easier leap, whereas I'm not a great Facebook user. To get me out of the Amazon ecosphere of ordering, because one of the big things I really value with Amazon is if something doesn't work or if I just don't like it, I'm like, hi, I don't like it. And they go, okay, that's fine, send it back, refund, no problem. And it's done and dusted, and their aftercare service is second to none, even to, you know, local online ordering stuff. And it set the bar really high, and there's nothing that's going to pull me out of that ecosphere into Facebook. And that's
not at all. But you know what? One thing that I think that they will bring to the table, Ewan, because I have been playing around with this for the last, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 months, is I signed up for Venmo because one of my friends wanted to pay me that way for some work that I had done for him. And I was like, I had ignored Venmo for a minute because we got Square here, and Square, and you know, it's pretty simple. PayPal is really simple. But they've had peer-to-peer payments for almost 2 years now, and it's fast, and it works really, really well. So again, I think their smart play for them, and I believe this is what they're actually doing, is start with the things that aren't like your typical retail, you know, more your service-oriented business, your photography, your videography, your come wash my car kind of thing, detail guys. And then I think they're also going to be able to, like Ewan says, hey, man, let me buy that, you know, this AKG 420 off of you. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go ahead and ship it over. And then you're in Facebook Messenger, and you can be like, all right, Doc, here's 150 U.S., and then I can send you a tracking code like 2 seconds later, and that can all be done through Messenger. So I think some of that peer-to-peer stuff is going to go a little bit further. Whereas Amazon is your mall, like at the beginning, Facebook is going to be like your bazaar or your swap meet or, you know,
well,
that
which
kind
scares
of thing.
Me immensely, because that whole point of, you know, with Amazon, they are the shop retailer, if you like, in inverted commas, and you go back and you see the shopkeeper, and the shopkeeper goes, yeah, that's fine. And then they deal with the supplier. Whereas yeah. with the Facebook side, I get the feeling, and it's very unfair of me to do this, I totally accept, but I get the feeling in my heart that it's like Facebook putting me in touch with a third-party vendor, taking a cut, and then when I go back to Facebook and go, well, look at this, it doesn't work, look at this, I don't like it, look at this, I want it changed, they're going to go, whoa, no, talk to him. And that really, yeah. that's the bit that scares me at the moment. And I may be totally wrong in that, totally accept that, but that's my irrational fears are what stopped me as becoming a customer for that, and I'm not the only one that probably thinks that.
I think what it is it's a day old, so we're going to have to go look in their policies and see what they're doing. But yeah, I agree. There's no better customer service when it comes to like getting crap you don't like than Amazon. Yeah. And as a person who sells on Amazon, sometimes it's irritating. I like it as a customer, but as a vendor, I kind of hate it because I get really dumb returns, but I just got to eat it.
Yeah. But on balance, those dumb returns are negligible in quantities of exposure that you get in the sales that you make.
Oh, most definitely. I explain that to my clients all the time who insist on not wanting to be on. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just keep collecting money and you just keep telling me you're afraid.
Anyone else to add? Oh, that's a good topic.
Thank you.
Who's next? Who wants theirs next?
I've got one next if you want.
Go for it. Mr. Garrett, tell us yours.
Okay. I've just popped the link in the chat room there. Now, it's difficult for me to be able to do a news story this week with an Apple event going on and being a Mac man, and you know, I haven't really been looking at any other news with a keynote going on, but there was one article that caught my eye, and that's because I'm quite heavily invested in Slack at the moment. Now, for those who don't know, Slack is the current sort of darling, the big boy of the communication and collaboration world. It's an application that brings teammates together to be able to chat, share files, brush out ideas, that sort of thing. And it's currently got a daily user base that's in excess of a million. So it's huge stuff at the moment. And the developers of Slack this week revealed that 39% of the company are actually female, which is very, very different to a lot of the results that have been posted by Google, Facebook and the like. That's even more impressive when you realize that there's only actually 250 people that are in the company worldwide. So that means that you've got almost 100 women versus 150 men, which just doesn't seem to happen. Now, I'm interested in these sort of workplace demographic stories that are going around at the moment, but what I'm more interested in is not so much the results, but how they've gone about getting those results. And what I mean by that is, are they just trying to meet a quota in order to be able to avoid a load of negative press because of all the public pressure that's there at the moment, or have they actually got procedures and processes in place to make sure that the best people are actually getting the positions that are there? If that makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, what I mean is, let's say you've got an
apartment,
for example, and you need to have 10 people, and you've got 100 applicants, 50 men, 50 women. Now, if the 10 best people were all from the same sex, you take on all of those 10 people, or do you split it in order to be able to make sure that it doesn't look like you're favouring one over the other? You see what I mean?
Great story, Lee. Who's got the next one? Superb.
Yeah,
Jesus, mate, this has got friggin' minefield written all over it.
Yeah. No, I seriously hope it's the
you ever bring a story here again about sexism, religion, or pets, and that's it, done. We're done, mate. We're through.
I really hope that what I want to see is companies not so much producing their results, but saying, look, these are the criteria that we have to be able to hire people. So I know that the right people are doing the right job. It could be that in one company, the women... You know, it's all women that are the best people to do that job, because individually, as people, man, woman, whoever, that's just the best person to do that particular role, rather than say, oh, look, we need to hire 5 men this week, we need to hire 5 women, you know.
Yeah, no,
that sort of...
You're making a fantastically serious point here that we're going to come back to in a second, but Muller's thrown everyone off in the chat room because you're doing a story about Slack, and he's put, so are you saying that the company's these majority women who are slackers... Very good.
Well,
thank you, mate.
This will help.
No, yeah. So I mean, I hate stories about this because the uber feminists on Twitter are just driving me mad at the moment, because it's just complete. A lot of what they're saying is just complete bollocks. And I've got the support of my wife in that. She thinks, she uses a very bad word for some of the ladies that say certain things on Twitter. Mm. But I don't want to. I want to see women in those positions on merit. I don't want to see them there based on quota.
Absolutely, that's the point.
Yes.
I don't want to see anybody in a position.
Exactly, yes, absolutely. Yes. In case I get any letters of complaint from the men, thank you. But you know, there was the always thing, run like a girl, dance like a girl thing. And it was just like, hang on, you've got an ad agency who's using actors to put out something which is something that guys say to try and get men and women to think that, oh, it's an ultra-feminist advert, because they actually want to sell you more press-on towels rather than actually change the world. But I went to, when I was complaining about this, I went to Wikipedia and I looked for the board of Procter & Gamble, and there's more women on the board of Procter & Gamble than there are men. And Meg Whitman's in there, who's a very savvy lady. So it's not... that's not... I don't think they've done that to keep a quota. I think they've done that because those people are there on merit. I really hope they have. Mm-hmm. But in the technology sector, I find it really difficult, because there's still a lot of people bleating about opportunity for women in technology. My daughter gets as much time on a computer as she wants at school as the guys get at school. She's not pushed off by anybody. She can do whatever she wants. She is just not interested. She is not gravitating towards computers. Ellis has an iPad. She has an iPad. Ellis spends tenfold time on that iPad compared to her. And he did at the same age. He was obsessed with the iPad more than she is. She wants to play with physical stuff. She wants to do dolls and that kind of thing. Ellis never did. He's got no action figures at all that he does. He does his Lego and that kind of thing. But you know, there's something going on there that isn't me and my wife genderizing her into this activity. There is a difference, and fighting against that I find really tough. But equally, there should not be lack of opportunity for anyone that wants to do it.
Yeah, the you know what thing I always,
I want to say something that
hang on Chris go ahead first.
The biggest thing I always see in these conversations, whether it be about race, religion, gender, it's context. Everybody leaves context out. And that's the most important part, content and intent, context and intent, you know. And when you're saying, you know, when you have these commercials run like a girl, when, you know, it, obviously they're just saying, you know, they're equal. But, you know, men who are against women will take that as, oh, see, you know, things are equal. And then women will take that and say, no, we have to say these things. And it that goes along with race and everything else as well. And you know, I always find that to be the most frustrating part about these bloggers and these activists, because many times they'll take a statement that they know was not meant in the manner as which they are printing it to make headlines for themselves, and it's very frustrating.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, there's no context in words, is there? In black and white, unfortunately.
No. Doc, what was your point?
I was going to say something, because there's a couple things that no one ever really wants to talk about. And a lot of times you look at these issues, you got to look at sort of root cause. It's easy to say right now that, you know, quote unquote, women are being blocked in tech. And anecdotally, You can get like 10 stories, but when you report it, sort of like Chris just stated, it can look like it's a ramping problem. And that doesn't say the problem does exist. But in order to have these type of jobs, let's say you're going to start at 21. So let's roll back 21 years ago, you know, to, you know, 1994. What was sort of the beginnings, the very early beginnings of the net age? There wasn't a lot of people online, period, at that point. You know, the ones that were either already nerds of a certain age, and those guys that introduced it to their children because they had children at that time. So at in that particular stage, I'm in my early 20s, and I take that back, early 30s, and I'm already a nerd, and I'm already doing this net stuff, and I'm already working with my nieces and nephews and teaching them all the cool things about the net. But if you look at parentage of that age, like you were just saying, there was no reason for any parent to be forcing their kids into being techie or nerdy. So as they grow up, if they don't catch it right away, it's not the industry's fault for holding them back per se. It is what was the course of that age. So the reason why I bring this up is, and Chris can back me up, there was a lot of conversation about the same thing for, say, African-Americans in tech. Or well, you're in UK, I'm sure you might hear the same thing there as far as people of color in tech. We're just building up our economy so that more and more people were making it into the suburbs, more and more people were making it into privilege. So the likelihood of someone coming from raw poverty and having the tools and the resources, schools and education, to be even slightly functional in tech are rare. Myself, I got lucky. My parents took the gamble when they couldn't afford a mushroom sandwich to buy me a color computer. Because my dad saw that as an opportunity. But most people in the hood, they weren't doing that. And when I had a computer hood, my friends used to want to kick my butt. Oh, you're going to be one of those geeks. You know, I used to talk smack. And I stuck to it because I liked it. Like messing around with sticking a tape in and load 20. That was fun to me. You know, everybody else was outside playing football, trying to figure out how they were going to make the Redskins. You know, so it's a different thing to say that these things analogically here. But you go back to root cause. It takes nearly 20 years to set seeds. So now with programs like Gene McDonald, where Kelly works, yeah, and that awesome. They're setting the seeds early so that the kids that are slightly younger than your daughter will have opportunities set for them now because they're getting role models built for them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, and that's different. And no one talks about that. Everyone likes to go to the ugly part, but you have to have root. You cannot just wake up and pull pineapples out of the ground. You have to plant a seed like 4 years in advance.
I mean, the other thing as well, I mean, we've suffered twofold with this. We are quite happy. We're an all-sausage show tonight. But we've quite happily taken anyone that wants to come on the show is more than welcome to come on the show if they've got a tech brain to say something. But one of the problems we have is there's not that many ladies who want to come on the show. There might be a reason for that as well. But the other thing is, the thing is, there's so few women in tech that the ones that are out there are in demand across a wider spectrum, and to actually get time to get them on the show, you know, we've had Amber MacArthur on, she hasn't got the time to come back on anymore. We've had Ashley Escada on, she hasn't got the time to come on anymore. It's you know, these people are not short of invites from us, but they we've got a crane flying, but their ability to come on, because they're so few and far between, is limited to us. So it's there is no positive or negative choices in whether you come on BTN. If you've got your name on the panel, then you'll be on the rotation and you'll come on, and it is gender, color, unbiased. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's why I always take those type of statements, and you know, you're kind of glad that they put it out there, because you know, it may attract other women and to enter into the tech world and into that particular company. So good for them. But on the other side, it's like, you know, if you're doing something well, you don't always necessarily need to talk about it. So I always find myself torn when you hear about these announcements, whether it be, hey, we have the most African-Americans or Latinos or minorities in our company or the most women. You know, so it's always torn. But I hope, going back to your original question and point, is that they were all hired by merit, and this is not a publicity stunt, and this, you know, this is a genuine place that they want to work. Because honestly, I just started using Slack a week ago, and I'm actually a fan of their product. So great. I think there's some tweaks they can do to it to make it more appealing.
Yeah, we use it.
But I really do enjoy using it.
No, I mean, I was, I'm very reticent about all of that kind of stuff, and Paul Wheatley's got us into using Slack on the network, and it's awesome. Mm. Absolutely adore it. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Absolutely. It's a bit, it bypasses me a little bit, because I'd rather have it as an app on my computer rather than a web interface. But
you can.
It is an app on your computer.
It is an app.
It is on mine.
Which I'm going to plug.
Is there an app on the Mac App Store for it?
Oh, I can't see.
I haven't found one. I'll have a look. Right, before we end the show. No, good story,
definitely
mate.
A Windows desktop app.
Good story, mate. Just don't ever bring one like that again.
No, that's fine. I'll do the next one about kittens.
Cool. Yeah, bring something about anything lame. Apple. Bring an Apple product next time.
I think we danced around it pretty well.
Yeah, we did. I think we could. For a group of blokes, we did okay there. Not too much sucking up.
A little two-step.
No,
yeah, we need you, Kelly.
It does say something that yesterday people were counting the women that walked on stage. So that's kind of...
I know.
No, but they were taking the piss, because it's like for 25 years there's never been a woman on stage in an Apple... Now they've had one last time, and it was Christy Turlington. Now this one, there was loads of them. Wow. What a movement forwards. Right, Ian, Chris, slug it out. Who's having the next story?
Gotcha.
All right. Well, I'm going to go next because my story is kind of
insane. You always go first, right? Go on, Chris.
Yeah. So it seems that there's a reoccurring theme that's been happening over the last couple of weeks around Windows 10. And this theme is about how Windows 10 is anti-privacy for people. And, you know, we had a discussion the last time I was here about it, about the Wi-Fi sharing. And, you know, we found out. And made sure that people understood that you know, the sharing on it was only people in your immediate contacts, and you can opt out of it, and so on and so forth. And I work in development of software, and there's always a fine line between determining what's on by default and what's not on by default. But the latest story that's all over the place that is driving me bananas is this feature in Windows 10 that when you set up a child account on your machine, that the parents actually get activity reports about what the child is doing. And so it just seems to me that the tech blogs that are Microsoft haters are in full court press to take down what many are considering the best version of Windows they've ever released. And in this particular topic, you know, the points they're trying to make are, well, Microsoft is spying on your kids. The other point is the LGBT community has picked up on this and saying, well, Windows 10 may out your child. And I find these things to be outrageous because, first off, if you got the use case for these type of accounts are for children, you know, 5, 6, 7 year olds, you know, most teens are going to have their own computers. That's the first thing. Secondly, I find it disturbing that anybody in the LGBT community, instead of admonishing parents that would alienate their children based on their sexual alignment, instead of giving Microsoft grief for helping parents to watch their children. Just 3 weeks ago, Rosie O'Donnell was frantic, wondering where her child was.
And Microsoft sent her an email telling her.
I wish they did. The fact that, you know, that she found out that she's been having this conversation with this guy.
Wow.
And, you know, that it was an older guy and she had no idea what was going on is the exact reason why something like this should be on by default. And so I'm just wondering, you know, you guys are smart fellas. I love my daughter to death, and I'm sure all of you love your children to death. And to me, it's a no-brainer that if I set up an account on a computer, I need to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you what I think, Chris.
That's the thing. Bing, Microsoft. Google, you'll see the story come up.
Do you think you should stop now that your daughter's 30, though, Chris?
No, that's my point. It never ends.
Go on, Lee. Sorry, man.
I was going to say, Microsoft are doing so many things right at the moment. And as in the public eye, I think they're probably as high now as they have been in recent years. And people are just trying hard to find something and accentuate it and exaggerate its importance in order to be able to try and knock them down. I think they're starting to suffer with what Apple, you know, suffer with to a large degree, in that, you know, they're at the top, so people want to try and knock them down. I think that this is just a symptom of that. Personally, I don't think it's a massive deal. It's a no-brainer for me, no-brainer for you, it's a no-brainer for most people, but it's something for them to be able to get at the Mac, because I'm a Mac person all the way through, but I use Cortana on Parallels on Windows 10 on my Mac because it's fantastic. Kicks in his ass. They're doing so many good things.
Yeah, no, I think I'm going back to the point of the kids thing. My son has a Facebook account and a Twitter account. He doesn't know the password. I'm the only one that knows it. He won't get that until he's 18, and I get emails for all of the activity that I get from Facebook because I sell, you know, I see his DM notifications, and periodically I'll go on and I'll have a look. And it's, sorry, mate, but that's the price you pay for your thing. And if you're saying, well, it might out your children, I'm sorry, but the first person that should know after the child whether he's gay, transsexual, etc., is the parent. And if it's not you, then you've got bigger issues, mate, than worrying about who's got your password and who hasn't.
Yeah. I've got exactly the same thing as you, mate. It's, you need to be in control of these things, because the internet is a really huge place, and it's a dark place, and lot, you know, and kids can come across a lot of things by accident, and sure, you need to be in control of that, and anyone who hasn't got that responsibility is negligent.
I mean, the way I see it is a complete parallel with medical welfare of your child. You know, you impress on your child, look, if you've got an ache in your arm or your shoulder or your head or your neck and it's hurting, don't keep it to yourself. Come and tell us and we'll get it looked at. We'll either take you to the doctor, or we'll rub it, or we'll treat it, or we'll kiss it better. And we'll, you know, and that's, it's no different from that. The online stuff is no different from that. If you're online, if someone says something, come and tell us. If someone says you should do something, come and tell us. And it's that right openness of the ability to communicate within your family. I mean, I don't think we're very normal perhaps, but I mean, every night we have dinner around a table all together, unless I'm away working, obviously. But, you know, if we are available to have dinner all together, we always have it. We're always around the table. It's always, how was school today? How was your day today? What did you do? Who did you talk to? What happened? And that's never going to change.
I think ultimately this is going to benefit Microsoft, because I've had sort of reports, key logging reports, etc., come in from my kids, you know, since they were old enough to type a key. But a lot of people don't realise that you can do that kind of stuff. And now they're going to be seeing these news reports and they're going, oh, hang on a minute, so we can do that, can we? Right, yeah. I'll have that. So ultimately it's going to be a benefit, because most people are like us. So,
I tell you, the big thing that worries me is that oftentimes we talk about how the laws of the land have not caught up with the technology. So you have kids, you know, 16-year-old dating 17-year-old, and they're both being prosecuted for possession of child porn because they're sending each other naked pics of each other in the bedroom. You know, that's a real story that's going on right now.
Yes, yeah. I just heard that yesterday.
Yeah, and that's going on all over the country, because the laws have not caught up with what people are doing nowadays. But what's also seems to have not caught up is the fact that parents need to understand that, you know, somebody being on the internet, their reach is endless without your supervision. And so, you know, we talk about, you know, these poor kids that are being prosecuted. Actually, one of them already got sentenced. But man, folks need to step up and understand that, you know, you're providing access to the internet, which is a wonderful thing. It's also a terrible thing.
Yeah, I mean, the real issue there is that no one needs prosecuting for anything. There needs to be a counselling and an education on that. But also, I can understand the fact that if you want to dissuade someone, the law is there to dissuade, and a threat of a prosecution is a dissuasion of activity. So I think there is a balance, though, to be struck. I still don't think that there should be a prosecution there, though.
Yeah, one of them got a year and a half, and they're still waiting to get the girl, she already got sentenced. It's just like, okay, prosecute them a little bit, teach them a lesson, drop the charges, let them live their life.
That's a heavy conversation and a lot of threats in a room in the police station, and then release. Nothing more. Right.
Yeah. Because one of the things that's going to happen is you're going to tarnish a person's record, would tarnish their ability you know, later on to get certain jobs, whatever. It's because depending on what the sentence is, you can get, you know, blasted with quote unquote a felony, which it is. It's definitely not a misdemeanor. So now she's not even capable to be as upstanding a citizen as possible unless you can get a lawyer to find some way to expunge that tick off of her record. And also the other thing that happens, which have been proven, I've been recently watching a bunch of documentaries on it, people that go in for petty stuff that end up becoming hardened criminals because they get taught how to be better criminals in their 3 months in jail. Like, that kind of stuff is stupid.
Right.
Good story. Good story, mate. Well done. I've got to go at 15:15, so I'm sorry, we'll have to rattle through. Righty, what have you brought for us, sir?
I'll be as quick as I can. The story that I've brought is actually, it's something I saw today. It's not actually my story, but it's based on the fact that Instagram are now introducing 30-second adverts into Instagram. So, yeah, which is a bit ridiculous. But that's what got me thinking. And it was kind of how ads are kind of working at the moment. And when iOS 9 comes out next week, that comes with ad blocking for mobile Safari. So ads are going to be blocked on there, and I think everyone's going to turn it on. You get the same thing as on Android. For years, we've had it on browsers. Extensions, that sort of thing. And the reason we block ads is because they're annoying. And I think the time has come where I think on the desktop web or the mobile web, they're going to go away. But where are the ads going? And they're turning up in ads. The same thing with the Instagram 30-second ad. If you remember annoying things like, do you remember Punch the Monkey? Like those sort of really annoying ads?
Yeah.
They flash ads. They just really got in your face. And if you actually go online now and download a lot of apps, that annoying thing that was on the desktop is now in your apps. And
yeah,
and it's ridiculous. And it's almost more annoying than when it wasn't desktop because you can't block it in your apps.
The one thing that really annoys me is the apps that put up an advert. I don't mind the adverts in the free apps. It's fair enough. But the ones where when you press the X, it registers a click. It doesn't register the X as a close.
Yeah, and exactly.
And with me, you get one strike at that. If your app does that to me, it's gone.
Yeah, over the place. Yeah. I don't think the Google and Apple should let this go. But it would have been interesting to have Jeff on the show tonight because, I think the traditional model of advertising is going away, and publications that rely on ads are going to lose that revenue, and the only people who are going to win are people like Apple, maybe Google on the App Store. But I just think we're about to go through another kind of change, another wave of really annoying ads, but on apps.
I'm always torn on this topic, and it's because I understand these companies need to find means to make revenue. And honestly, if your ad is well done and it's not that annoying, but at the same time I hate ads because most of them I'm jarred now because you go to a website, your whole screen is taken over, but you got to watch something for 30 seconds before you can just get to the little bit of content that you want to read. I don't watch anything on TV with the commercial on it. Everything is recorded. I don't watch anything live, and even if it has to be live, I usually watch about 35 minutes after it starts. Yeah, so you can fast forward it. So I'm not mad at them for trying, but I have to agree with you that, to the point, it's like, I don't know how well it's going to go over.
Yeah, no. NFL, I've started watching NFL the same way. Record the game, and then I can fast forward and just watch the play, and then fast forward
always.
And just watch the play.
Absolutely, always.
It's almost as grateful in the way that it's being rammed down your throat. You'd understand in the old days of TV where there'd be a break and you're going to make a cup of tea while the adverts are on. But now it's kind of like you must watch this advert or you can do anything.
Well,
and that's a real abuse.
I thought that the ad that really hit the mark for me was the YouTube ads where it allowed you to skip after 5 seconds. And you'd be surprised. And the thing there, the quality mark, if you like, was people say, and that's no good because everyone just clicks skip. Well, that's because the advert's shit, because there's an awful lot of adverts on there that I have watched, because actually in that first 5 seconds, I was like, that's interesting. I'll watch a bit longer. Yep. And I've watched the full 45 seconds to a minute without clicking the skip and then got to my video because the ad was well made. If people are skipping that, it's because your advert's shit. Mm. It's not because they need a minute that they cannot get away from. And the other thing is, I was looking today for some audio effects, and I found some on YouTube that were free, you know, royalty-free stuff. But someone had put an ad on, and it was a one-minute ad, and all I wanted was a five-second clip of a heartbeat. I was like, yeah. Well, you can stuff off, mate. Right. Not interested.
Yeah, just I agree. Close with you 100%
the page, jeez. And those five-second ads were brilliant because there was a quality control in there for them, and that's what they should be doing. I can't stand these. Watch for a minute. There's the stuff that you get for Sky now, and for some of the newspapers and things like that, where they want to show you a news story, and it's a minute and a half of adverts before you get 20 seconds about Lewis Hamilton going, I don't know why they made me drive faster for the last five laps.
Okay. It's just interesting that what we found annoying is going to happen again, and I think it's going to happen on our devices, but we can't do anything about it.
You just delete the app, plain and simple. Yeah. You've only got to, I mean, they'll do it straight away before you do your in-app purchases, so just delete it.
One of the things that's pretty funny is, you notice how everyone hates ads. Everyone hates ads, but you know what you can find any day in your social media feed? People sharing some of the funniest and bestest ads on their social media feed, like, oh, this is share worthy. So, like Ewan said, if you make a good ad and your product is good, no one cares. Everyone will watch it. Everyone use it. People will walk around using your buzzwords as the current thing. Like, you know, that stupid Budweiser thing from 15 years ago. What the? You know, like, everybody did that for almost 2 years.
And doobie-doobie-doo, mate.
Right. You know, like, there's tons of them. And it's funny. When there's a really good one, people hear, if there's a good UK commercial, like 3 months later, people will steal it and republish it in the US as, hey, here's a new creative ad we made, or vice versa. Yeah. So if you really want people to like your ad or click your ad, try actually being creative and not so in your face and making good ads.
Totally. Excellent. Good discussions tonight, chaps. Awesome. We've only got 10 minutes left, so we need to do the cool thing rather swiftly if we could. But if you've got a cool thing, then just shout it out and drop it in the dot later. And we've got a chat bot now as well, which is great. If you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, you can actually go back and look through all the chats that we've had for about the last 6 weeks, because we've got a little chat bot sits in there and gathers them all. So all the links for the cool things, you're sitting going, oh, you didn't put the link for the cool thing in the show notes. Doesn't matter. Find the relevant day that we recorded the show, which is always a Thursday, really, for Big, and Friday for Mac, and you'll find links to the cool things in there if someone's posted them in the chat room, which they generally do, I have to say. So start us off, Mr. Garrett. What's your cool thing?
Yeah, mine's really, really quick, because it only came out today. Well, the offer was posted today. It's an old app. It's Infinity Blade 3 on iOS, but it is free for the next few days. So it's one of the best iOS app games I've played. Oh. Download it. It's free.
Excellent.
I'm going to do it.
Infinity Blade. That was the one that they used to show off the engine, wasn't it, on about iOS
6? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, good. That was awesome, because you walked around the castle.
Yeah. It's still an awesome game. Still good.
It's free. Brilliant. Doc?
It's free, yeah.
So yesterday got to play around with, because we picked up this Sphero BB-8 droid. Oh. It is absolutely freaking fantastic. I thought I was going to poo-poo it. I was ready to, like, get it, hate it, send it back. But it is awesome. It's so interactive, the things you can do with it. It like recognizes your voice. One of the cool things you can do is you can line the camera up with your face and you can record a video message. And then it kind of does the old school, like, Augie Bin Doggy, the radar is jammed thing. When you point the phone at it through, like, augmented reality, it'll play the video back out of a little projection that comes out of its head.
Oh.
Like the holographic communication. Let me be properly nerd right and say it correctly. It has a lot of cool things. Like, you can tell it to rove the office and it'll go in patrol mode and it walks around. And when somebody breaks its plane, it stops and it goes, and like, it gives you an alert on your phone. So, like, you can do some really cool stuff with it. And, you know, I always loved their stuff since you and the Ollie back last Christmas. So if you're thinking, like, oh, maybe it's a little pricey, really it's $20 more than the old Sphero, and it's way cooler for the extra $20. Stop complaining and buy it. It's pretty awesome.
How does the head stay on top?
Magnets
in it,
right? And we're doing cool things with it. Like, we're making it do breakdance moves, like stop it real fast and spin it around so the head, like, goes around like an angry black woman. It's just insane.
If you look on Lee Peterson's Twitter feed, he's got a superb picture of his cat just staring at BBA. It's a really, really good picture.
Oh, I might have to buy one then.
We captured it.
Yeah, I was going to make a video of it yesterday, but we were too busy goofing off and having fun. We never got the video equipment out, and there was like 2 hours of like, man, we got to get back to work.
Good one. Yeah, I like that. I do like that. I'll be numbing an R in. I think that's it now. I'm going to buy. Chris, what have you got for us, sir?
My pick is simple. Next week, Tuesday, September 15th, Destiny the Taken Kings comes out. Oh. This update was 18 gigs.
Oh. Good That's, Lord.
It's essentially, and they say even it's the rev number is 2.0. They basically created an entire new game and put it out there. All the stuff from the previous year is gone. It's pretty much dead. It's going to be useless up to a certain extent. The new raids, new gameplay, new updates, new guns, yeah, new quests. Oh my God, I took off 3 days of work next week just for this game.
It looks so sexy, says Bat Winch. Now we have a Destiny clan, don't we? Bat Winch has started one, so Bat Winch, stick the link in for the Destiny clan into the chat room. If you'd like to find it, then go and have a look in the chat room. But we have got a Destiny clan that Bat Winch has started, so. Will our clan work with the new upgrade, or will we have to start a new clan?
Absolutely. No, the clan's fine.
Brilliant.
Your clan is based on Bungie, so you're good to go.
Great. There we go. Batwinch, well done. Thank you. Please post the link. She'll do it in 30 seconds. We've got a delay at the moment. Righty, what was your cool thing, pal?
Well, the other month before we went off on our break, I mentioned that I was playing the game The Walking Dead on Xbox, which is kind of akin to the old 10x10 adventure games. But I'm playing a new game called Life is Strange, and it works on the same kind of thing. I'll put it in the chat room. But the great thing about it is, with The Walking Dead, you'd make a decision, and the game would continue based on the decisions that you made. The great thing about Life is Strange is same sort of scenario, but you can rewind and forward time at will. So if you make the incorrect decision, you can rewind time and make the right decision.
Oh.
And it's a serial game at the moment. The first four episodes are up on Xbox at the moment, and the fifth one's coming soon. It's only $1.99 per episode, and it's just the most interesting game I've played all year.
I remember that one. It used to be just called cheating.
But... Well, yeah, it's not cheating.
Now cheating's an in-app purchase, obviously.
Yes.
That is the most profound statement that actually is so true. In most cases, cheating is just an in-app purchase. that should be a bumper t-shirt. Sticker or something that like nerds post all around. Just yeah. As a thing.
Need a t-shirt with that on it. Cheating is just an in-app purchase.
There you go.
My cool thing is Amazon and the Nessie Blue. Here you go. I'm about to use this. I'm about to go on DTNS with Tom Merritt, and I will be using my Nessie for the purpose of it. I bought this the other week, so I need to do a voiceover in a hotel. The only problem was I forgot to change the delivery address on Amazon, so it went to the home instead of the hotel. So it was a bit shit, really. I couldn't do it. I had to come home to do it. But I've used it since, and the quality of this microphone is just stunning. Absolutely stunning. I remember the old the Blue Yeti, and Steve Naber uses that, and a few of the other podcasters use it, and it's a really, really good mic. And this one is just as good, but it's smaller, it's more compact. You can get it into your hand luggage and that kind of stuff far easier. £79 on Amazon with Prime, so it's free. There you go.
Yep, that's when I use it. It's awesome.
Until I bought this kid, that's what I used for the first like year plus of BTN.
Yeah, well, we did have issues. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Garrett?
Okay, you can get me on my website at myproductivemac.com. You can get me on Twitter at myproductivemac. And if I could just do a very quick shameless plug, myself, Mike Vardy and Dave Kalo have just published a online course teaching you how to use Slack and all of the lovely power tips and everything within. It's $40. It's in American money, I'm afraid, but it's $40, and I'm just posting the link in the chat room.
No, good
you can
man.
Get there on dototech.com.
Slack's brilliant. If you're in a work group of any description for any kind of company, it's perfectly secure. You can set up your own private channel so no one else can see, or you can have public channels that everyone that you invite can see. So it's really, really easy to use, and it's absolutely brilliant. Totally, totally secure.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at Mark from Hoya.
We used Slack to organize the wedding trip to Japan and getting all these people from all these different locations to land in a certain place and be at certain places at certain times and always communicate with all different phone systems and all of that, and it completely worked. I mean, I literally used it to plan a broad wedding. How crazy is that?
Yeah, it's good. Doc, have you done your cool thing?
Yeah.
You did.
Sphero,
right. So who's left then?
I just cost you $150.
Oh, well, we're doing Where Can We Get a Hold of You? Sorry. Oh, yeah. Doc, Where Can We Get a Hold of You?
Uh-oh, somebody's nervous.
Yeah, no. I'm just old.
You can, tomorrow morning, same network, same chair, same everything, different hat, different color.
Yeah, we'll be here for the Max show tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Well, yeah, super simple. At Doc Rock on the internet everywhere.
Yeah. Mr. Ashley, where the hell are you?
You can always find me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley. And, of course, every week we're recording the SMR podcast, one of your favorite podcasts you've never listened to yet. Check us out. Three funny dudes talking tech and anything else we comes across our minds.
And when the Redskins are playing at Wembley, mate, I want to see you on the plane over here and I'll sit and join you.
If they do that, I'm going to try to hook that up.
Do it. I'm in. And Righty Boy, where are you, sir?
Paul was on Twitter, mate, and always britishtechnetwork.com.
Good man. Thank you. And thanks for looking after everything for the last few weeks while I've been away.
No worries.
August is always mental for me. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. If you want to know more about Hoya glasses, it's podcasts@hoya.co.uk, and market for the attention of Mark, and he'll get it all sorted and put you in touch with where to go and get your eyes measured on an iPad and then tested afterwards with an iPad inclinometer as well. And I'm on DTNS in 15 minutes. We're going to leave the chat room open, so if you want to throw any abuse in the chat room, go ahead and do it. It'll be fun. Till then, see you next week. Big Show will be back on Thursday. Max Show tomorrow at 3 o'clock. It's all back to normal.
Peace.
Aloha.
Hey.
It's all back to normal, in inverted commas.
Is this your first time on their show?
No. They just don't invite me very much because I must upset people. I've upset Jenny in a different life.
I was on there back in February and had a blast. That was my first time. So.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I think it's probably been more than that since I was on last. So.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Enjoy, man. Good luck on there.
We can't get Tom Merritt on the show. He's like, oh, no, I can't do it until after September. So it's difficult getting people on, mate. If they're in demand and they're talented, that's the problem. We only have the talentless ones on with us.
That's why you get the same lot of us.
You can get me every day.
Oh, no sorry, talent. Fellas. I couldn't resist.
No talent.
Hey, it's like junior varsity.